Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back, Laffian, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian finally returns home. After a successful heist, Laffian now has the time to readjust to life as a prince. As the next in line for the throne, he decides to visit his childhood home and visit with the people important to him and his mission to save the world. Is his bedroom as he left it? Did his favourite dog have a good life? And are his birthday gifts still waiting for him? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
We are just Raoul and Balance now. Make your way back to Beleg Bood. Pintero is going to hang around up in, you know, Dust Plateau to do a little bit of work for your father and then head on back. Where are you going? Where are you going in Beleg Bood? Are you just going to go hang out for the next 3 days? What are you up to?
Laffin's going to turn to Raoul and say, so I have some things I need to tend to. I wanted to stop home and then I wanted to go speak to my aunt. Might be a good idea if you just relaxed. All of Beleg Bood is yours to enjoy.
Raoul kind of looks around.
There's a lot more to it, I promise, especially when you're royalty. Which you do have all rights to now, so...
He blinks a couple times. I don't really know what that means.
The best way I can explain it is people will help you. They'll do what you want.
I know that
sounds kind of... No, why don't we go to my home and I'll see if perhaps one of the servants will tend to you. They'll make you food, drinks. If you'd like to go somewhere, they can escort you. Anybody tries to mess with you, they can promptly tell them to fuck off.
Okay.
You're protected here.
That's fine. I'll wait for you to be done and wherever. It's fine.
I'll check in with you. Just let's go to my home then and... get you settled, and I'll deal what I need to.
Okay.
All right.
We go to my house.
You make your way to the estate that was your father's. Your father now has like the actual crowned monarch estate. This is, I guess, your estate now.
Oh.
Well, technically your mother's, because your mother will never give up her home, but this is basically your estate now.
Mm-hmm.
Raoul, as you arrive, you notice, much like the other buildings, the older buildings in Belegbu, this is built into a tree. As you arrive, you see off to kind of like the right-hand side, you see there is an old dog pen area. You know, dog houses? No, what are they called? Pens? No.
Kennel.
Kennel. Thank you. Thank you. There are like dog kennels off to the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, you can see like the horse stables and the such like. This place is very large. You can see there's like a little orchard out the back with some smaller trees. Yeah. As you arrive, you notice that there are two guards/butlers waiting at the entrance for you. They both bow very low, and they welcome you into, I guess, your house. Inside is very regal. I mean, you've seen the inside of the elven place at the Gentleman's Dueling Club. This is like 100 times posher and shinier. This place is very elven. It's beautiful and delicate. You see most of the household staff arrayed at the bottom of the staircase or on the staircase, basically awaiting orders from their new master. This is that awkward moment where you've taken over another person's estate and now you're in charge, buddy.
Okay, first thing I'm going to do is find a attendant for all.
Uh-huh. There's an older elven woman. You knew that she would look after visiting dignitaries and make sure that everything for them was, you know, it was good. She's hosted all sorts, a couple of humans in her time back when, you know, a different human was in charge. Same with the halflings and dwarves all the time.
What is her name?
Her name is... We're on a roll here. I love it. Her name is Selreth.
Okay. So then Laffine just finds where Selreth is and... Selreth?
Yes, my lord?
I have my friend Raoul here. He's new to the whole royalty thing. And we're going to be in town for a few days. And I was hoping that you might be able to look after him while I attend to a few things.
Of course, not a problem, my lord.
I appreciate it. If you need me for anything, feel free to seek me out. Otherwise, Raoul? Selreth? Selreth Raoul? Try to enjoy yourself.
Kind of like, she kind of like curtsies and bows low towards Raoul.
Hi.
Hi.
If I pass out, don't worry about it. Just leave me there.
I don't think that's going to happen, my lovely. You come with, we're going to look after you and we're going to make sure you're treated right, royalty. We're going to make sure, first of all, we're going to clean up some of this blood on your face. I'm going to make you feel a lot better and change you into some nice comfy clothes. Oh, don't worry about that. We'll see to you. And she puts her arm around him and like leads him like into like the back rooms where, you know, like the kind of like health and thing. Like Raoul is being taken to one of those like really big posh baths. So like the water is warm and for however it is they manage to get it all bubbly, like a jacuzzi.
Laffian whispers to Sarith before they walk out, like, maybe give him the deep tissue massage too.
Right you are, my lord. You come this way, come with me, Raoul, and we'll figure all this out, my lord. Yeah, so she takes him off to have a jacuzzi and a massage. That is going to be most of Raoul's day today. Okay. Laffian, what are you up to, my dude?
So first, I'm going to go check on my doggos.
Okay. There are no dogs.
Fuck.
No dogs at all?
No dogs at all.
Well, they have lifespans, dude.
They do.
You've been
not
in jail
all of them are immortal like wolf, I'm afraid.
Elven dogs last longer? I'm sorry, I'm away from my mic. Do elven dogs last longer?
That's we had this do, argument.
Yes, they do, but there are no dogs here.
Oh, Laffin's gonna be super sad.
Sorry. Oh. Your dogs aren't here. You see, like, the old houndmaster who's now basically tending the trees over the back. You could talk to them, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Laffin would probably go over. Houndmaster, what happened to the hounds?
He bows low and he says, "Your father had most of them transferred to his new estate."
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. All right.
I'm afraid there aren't that many left from when you were still with us. A couple of them escaped. A couple of them died. We unfortunately only really have the smallest, most annoying one. One of your mother's dogs, Batman, I believe.
Of course.
I'm afraid that your favourite dog, Woof, just took off in the night one day. Never to be seen again.
Oh. I understand. Well, I hope Woof is doing all right somewhere.
You see him, like, take an in-breath as he's about to contradict you and then decides otherwise you are the lord of the house now.
Well, anyways, thank you for your time then.
You're most welcome, lord.
And then Laffian's going to head for his bedroom.
Okay.
It has been quite literally 50 years since he has been in there.
Yes, it has. You make your way inside. There's the hustle and bustle of people moving about. Most of them give your space, either bow deeply or nod in respect, mostly accompanied with me lord or me highness, that sort of thing. As you arrive to your room, it still says Laffy and Dathradir on the door. You pass another door close to your own, which has your brother's name on it, Pintor. You see another one, a couple of other empty rooms, which you would assume would have been or are your parents. One which, you know, would probably, if your parents still lived here, would be your little sisters. But for now, it only has yourself and Pintor. It looks like your kind of little plaque has been taken down and put back up a few times. You could just see, like, tall markings. Mm. As you open the door, it's not exactly how you left it. Your room has been clearly tidied, cleaned, moved, rearranged. Things aren't as you left them. The desks, the drawers, they're all like kind of tidied, cleaned away. Some of them are no longer even here. The bed is different to how you remember it. It's now a very kind of like big, lush four-poster bed compared to the kind of more simple one you would give to a child. Like it has been recently replaced, let's put it like that. On the bed, there is a couple of parcels. That's about it. It has, the room is kind of stale because it's not been used very often. It has that kind of like must to it.
He's going to step in, close the door behind him. Mm-hmm. And kind of just walk around the room, just kind of slightly tracing his hands along everything and reminisce.
Yeah.
And when he gets to the bed, he'll sit down and look at the packages. And are there names on them?
Some of them, yes. There is a big package which looks fairly obvious what it is. Looking at the wrapping, this is clearly a longbow. You see that there is a little tag, a little note attached to it, and it's from Talvin, wishing you a happy 100th birthday and wishing that you would attend more of his archery lessons.
He lets out like a good laugh at that and then takes the bow and kind of just runs his hand over it.
As you run your hand over it, kind of take the wrappings off, it's very exquisitely made. It's inlaid with gold and with silver. As you kind of like lift it and move it around, there's a magical enchantment on this, a very basic one, not too much. I mean, you would have felt plus one items before. You know what that feels like. It's a longbow of plus one. Whether you do or do not use it, roll 20, I think, has already decided. But this is where you would have gone.
He will. keep it. He'll put it in the bag of holding.
Of course, yes.
Whether or not he ever uses it is TBD.
Yes, we shall decide. You find a few other little bits and pieces. You find a couple of presents just from odd acquaintances, other family members, like the things that you don't really wish you had, like, you know, a nice looking robe, which you have hundreds of.
Pair of socks.
That kind of, a pair of socks, yeah. At least one person has sent you a pair of socks. One person has sent you an old book, which you probably have already read at some point in your past.
Any of the ones that don't have names on them?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to open those one at a time. And when I say one at a time, I mean he's going to have it in the center of the floor and he's going to be outside the door with the mystic hand.
There isn't anything on here that doesn't have a name on it. Okay. They're like... they would be like small innocuous things.
If there's one from Dacian, he's fucking running.
Yeah. No, there is. You got the greatest gift from Dacian already. You have Monarch.
Aww.
He gave you the best gift.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. You do notice that there is also a smaller box from Lynverna, and it's just a very simple kind of like silver bracelet. And it has like the kind of dragon fruit, it has the vines and it has the roses on it. Just three different metals all interlocked together as a little bracelet.
He wears it. Her.
And lastly, you find a kind of big-ish box. Kind of, yeah. Like, it's a well-made dwarven box. It's made of iron and it's made of dark oak. There would only be one person who this would be from. The other dwarf that you know really well wasn't even born at this point. And there's a little key. As you turn the key and open it, you can see that inside is a scripture from Rowena and also from your father. In Elvish and in Dwarvish, the message is essentially the same. A ruler needs to be smart, but also be wise. There is an elegant crown inside. It's made of silver and gold. There is virtually no markings on this. There's virtually no tool marks on this at all. It's almost as if it has been poured and came out the way. It's well looked after. It is elegant and beautiful, very elvish, with just that twinge of dwarf to it. In the center, at the top, there is a dark red gem. You recognize this gem as one of your father's. It's something he used to carry about and rub for good luck. It's a gem that your father spoke at length about, its history. It belonged to many of the rulers of the Elven Kingdom. This is what you have.
Okay. Out of paranoia, he wants to make sure that the writing is, in fact, from Rowena and his father.
Okay.
And based on that is what will determine what he does.
Investigation. I think you've seen enough of their handwriting. It may have been 50 years ago. But have you seen Rowena? You have a copy of Rowena's handwriting.
Yeah.
For sure.
28 investigation.
This is Rowena's handwriting for sure. And yes, this is also your father's handwriting.
Okay. Any signs of tampering on the box?
Not that you can see.
Then he'll take the crown and try it on.
As soon as you pick it up, you feel that little spark that there is something magical about this. It fits really well. It means like a minor adjustment and then it will be perfect, but it fits really well. And then you hear a light tapping at the door.
Yes.
Your mother walks through the door.
That was fucking
She's
fast.
She's smiling.
Christ.
Well, they have connections now. she kind of like, she doesn't have baby in arms. Pintle's not anywhere around, nor is your father. It's just your mother. It seats you.
Thank you. I didn't expect to... Well, I didn't expect any of this, but...
Well, let's just say... you deserve more than this. How long are you planning on being here?
Another 3 days.
Are you going to go see Glengareth?
That's my next stop.
Rowena sent word to us this morning. She said she would be here this afternoon.
I should speak with her as well then, fill her in on what's transpired.
She's come to speak with Glengareth.
Oh.
She needs to speak to her. One queen to another. Yes, your father is king now, but... Rowena still needs to figure out some things for her people.
Can I request to be present?
I don't think she'd deny that. She probably has many of the same questions you do.
Well, she doesn't have the abilities I do.
It's your right to... I guess deal with Glengareth how you feel, how you wish. But if she's been under the effect of Gears for a long time, she may not be... She may not actively be trying to... be disruptive, be uncooperative. It might just be how it's left her. Don't go too harsh on her.
I don't intend to. I understand the compulsions of others and how such things can affect someone. My intention is to just information gather. Our enemies are working against us, and the more I know about them, the more I know about their plans, the more that we can act accordingly.
I know the blissful eclipse is a problem. I know. But there are other enemies we have that are smaller but just as dangerous to us immediately. She kind of like sits on the end of your bed and she says, there are a lot of people who are angry at Glengareth. A lot of people who are angry at your father. She sowed a lot of problems in her time. Some people will forgive that and some people won't. Some people will want to stand by the words she put in their mind. And that could be a threat to you and to your father and to Pintor. Just don't get complacent and be careful, please. Don't lose sight of the little things too.
I'm trying my best not to. And believe me when I say I'm not growing complacent. After everything that's transpired, the assassination attempt on my life that's ended up being on Pintor's, and believe me, I'm not leaving my back open.
Good. Good.
That being said, what is our sister's name? Go.
Steve.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Cynthia Thanor. No, don't, V, don't give me that I don't remember, because otherwise I'm about to mind blast a bitch.
I don't remember!
V!
Oh no!
I need to find it.
It's
yes, Cynthia whatever Thanor. You put in your... Cynthia Thanor.
Anor.
Yes, that one too.
V?
I don't know how to pronounce these things!
You made the name!
I just it was pretty. I just thought it's pretty
here,
and I'd get to say it once and that would be it.
Here, control
Thank
V.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
don't,
this
much Don't control
better.
V, control V. C-T-R-L, not control. There we go.
Yeah, you can't control me. Yes, she says that.
Okay. All right. I needed to make sure. Sorry. Listen, I've had to deal with a lot of weird things in my travels.
I do have one thing for you.
Hmm?
She kind of like reaches into a side pocket on her belt and she pulls out this small little box. It's not well wrapped. It's battered. It looks really old. It's, you know, aged. It's not as if someone hasn't taken care of it. It's just, it's old and it's falling apart. And it was basically a reed box. And she hands it over to you and she says, "Now, this isn't for you, really. But when the time is right, you might want to give it to someone else." And she kind of gives you half a smile and she says, "It was my mother's, and yeah."
He opens it.
It's one of those kind of little diadem things, like the little like gem that sits on the on a chain that you kind of like wear and it sits in the center of your forehead. One of those kind of like really pretty elven-y things.
It's a diamond worth 25,000 gold.
No, stop it. We already got that. You just wear a giant fucking diamond the size of a heart on your head. Just right there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah. It's just a little intricate, like, funny enough. Sorry, it is a tiny diamond. It's a tiny little diamond inside a little cage of gold and silver.
Laffian has kind of like an O face, like, okay. That's a discussion that's going to have to be tabled for a little bit.
Regardless, tabled or not, it's yours now to give to whoever you want to give to.
He touches it, just runs a hand over it.
I need... No, it's fine.
V! I'm on it. It's not even a day after I had to rob a fucking library.
It's funny. How can I not do this? It's as it seems.
No mind control bullshit.
Yep.
Great. He tucks it away into the bag of holding and then gives his mom a big hug.
She gives you a big hug back. Okay. Let's say that was the morning. What do you want to do with the afternoon?
Actually, I want to ask Mom one question.
Yeah, sure.
Before I go, and if anybody's going to know, it's you. Did they find and/or deal with Ithan?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Is she still in one piece?
As far as I'm aware, she didn't leave a choice.
Did she say anything?
She shakes her head.
Has anybody searched her quarters?
Your father's... There are people searching it now, yes.
Okay. If they find anything, let me know.
Of course. Oh, no doubt your father will let you know what he needs to let you know.
Thank you. Fantastic. Well, I need to go to speak to an aunt about some things.
You do. I'm just going to go check in on Raoul and make sure he's doing okay.
I imagine he's having a good time.
I hope so. I hope so. He deserves it.
Before I forget, one last thing. It may be a good idea if a messenger was sent back to the dueling club.
Mm-hmm.
To follow up and see if Yel... What was it? Yil? No.
Jill.
It might be a good idea if someone was sent to check on Jill and see whether or not he survived the dragon attack.
I think we'll definitely send someone else. She kind of like looks uncomfortable at the mention of the gentleman's dueling club.
I just... Having a horseman on our side could be very important.
I'm sure someone will look into it. You can have that talk with your aunt now.
Yes. Gives her another hug, kiss on the cheek, and then heads off.
Mama Dathradia goes down and hangs out with Raoul in the jacuzzi for a bit.
Like, she orders, like, the best, like, champagne.
Mimosas.
And she tells you that it's not, like, too... Yeah, mimosas. And she orders something that doesn't, like, interrupt your digestive system too much, so it's not too acidic, it doesn't make you feel bad.
White
like,
ration.
She gets you something real nice.
I can see Raoul drinking a white ration.
So, yeah, there's good jacuzzi time with Mama Dathridea. Okay. On with Glengarith. Your aunt is being held in a secure room in the Witcher Society. It's one that's pretty high up in the canopy. There are only trusted guards, those that your father handpicked to look after her. There are signs that people have tried to break in to get to her already. Oh. Things broken, boarded up. But they have been repelled. As you get up there, you also notice that there are two dwarven guards on the door as well. Rowena is essentially just waiting. She knows that you're coming.
As soon as he sees her, he cracks a big smile and, like, not even any sort of proper royal bullshit. He just runs over and gives her a hug.
She kind of like giggles a little bit and gives you a hug, very, very tight hug. And she looks at you and she says, "Well, you did a good job, kid. You did a good one."
I told you I'd handle things. We'd handle things.
Well, at least I've gotten a bit more information. That'll be good. I see you wearing my crown.
I am. Fits mostly well. I think you may have been slightly off on your measurements, though.
Yeah, maybe your head isn't quite as big as I thought it was.
Oh, she kinda gives all right. You a smile. All right. All right. Well, nice to see you too.
Yeah. Thicket should be back in a few days, which means that Kaithia will be too. I'll send them straight. I'll send her straight here. I'll leave notes. Well, I guess we better get on with this. Your father's apparently already had a good talk with her, so.
I have other means of learning some things I won't be able to show to you, but I won't hold anything back. But there are things I need to know as well.
Of course.
I'm hoping that she'll just cooperate and I won't have to... Well, let's hope it doesn't get to that.
Me too. I've got to figure out what state she's in before I make any declaration back and talk with your father about how we're going to handle this. You should probably know we've talked about... Well, we'll talk about it later. All right, move aside. She looks at the four guards and the two dwarves immediately step sideways. The two elves look at you, look at her, realize she's the queen. Just step aside. And you're going. Glengarith is sitting at a table. She's still wearing her royal finery. She still looks composed. But there are very heavy, dark shadows around her eyes now. Her hair is a little askew. You can see that her hands are constantly moving. They're clasping and then unclasping, and she's digging her nails into her hands and letting go again. She looks uncomfortable, even though the rest of her is trying to have a bearing. Come in. You can sit if you like.
You'll have to excuse me if I stand.
As you wish. Rowena, it's been a while. Yeah, it has, lassie. Come here. And she goes over and gives Glengarith a hug, and you can see that she's hugging her back very tightly. You can see that they're whispering something very quietly to one another, and Rowena sits down on the table near her. I have some questions to answer. I'm not trying to be difficult. I just... can't for some of them.
What do you mean?
I don't know everything. I don't know why for everything. I don't always know what I did. But I know that I'm sorry.
Lafian, for choosing you. I am sorry. You have some questions. You have some questions, and I will answer what I can. I'm at Zelfar's mercy, and therefore I'm probably at yours as well. Go ahead.
The things I want to know, I'd like to be shown rather than told.
I don't have that kind of magic.
I do. But you have to allow me for it to work. I could force it, and I really don't want to. I'm not that kind of person anymore.
What do you mean?
I have certain abilities that will allow me to see memories, either of my choosing or of yours, if you're willing. What I need to know and what I need to see is interactions you've had with Lightburner and with Dachin. I need to know everything. I need to know what they've said, what they've done, where they've been, who they've talked to.
I will answer what I can. And you can see what I remember.
I will put what energy I can into this. Perhaps it will clear some of the memories up so that we both can see. And Laughing holds out a hand towards her.
She very hesitantly takes it.
And he's going to be as gentle as possible, but he's going to do the history vision, and he's spending all of his side points. He wants to have the clearest picture of everything.
Okay, the clearest picture of everything? You're going to need to be a bit more specific. Clear visions of what?
Any interactions or discussions that have been had with Lightburner and Dachin.
You're talking interactions and discussions that go back nearly 100 years. That's a lot of information. I can't transcribe 200 years of history. I'm going to need some potential highlights that you're looking for. I can't really give you every interaction ever.
First interaction, first meeting.
Okay.
So first encounters.
With
both Lightburner and Dachin.
Okay. In that case, yeah, I'll tell you what, for each of these like mega phases, I'll get you to do a roll, and that will be how much information she has or has memories of. Because she honestly doesn't remember everything.
Okay.
All right. So yes, you will always get a vision, just how much will be determined on your roll.
Right.
So
right. First encounters.
Yep, go for it.
And then birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And day of the apocalypse.
Okay, so roll for first encounters.
What am I
rolling? I'm going to give you your birthday because it's really easy for her to do. History. Your history looking back through the past thing.
I believe it's just an intelligence roll.
I believe it is, yes.
First is a 14.
Okay. On a 14, a few years before you're born. Not that long before you were born, actually. Glengarith is holding court. She is speaking with the head of the Mages Guild. She is talking openly about magic. She's heard of the plight of some of the wild magic sorcerers, and she wants to kind of help, figure out how to help them out. Most of the time, they're kind of shunned. They are kind of dangerous. When in walks a tall half-elf man. He bows low to her. And he tells her about magic from a far-off place. How this magic, how the way it's been treated allows chaotic magic to flourish. It's given them guidelines on how to help with these things. He's turned up at the right moment about the right thing. And he's very charming. He's very likable. Even you could understand why he was accepted. He was knowledgeable, charming, understandable. She meets with him again a couple of days later to hammer out some of the details, perhaps put some land aside, when he gives her a gift, a necklace. A necklace that you both know now was a controlled one. She put it on and you felt a charge. She felt a charge of something going through her. Something broke the crown that she was wearing. The magical properties on that just shattered. He waved his hands near her head, and the spell took place. She heard a woman's voice. But that was the last time she heard it for a very long time. This half-elf man would turn up from time to time and cast Geas upon her again, and again, and again. Soon it just became Rout, that he would just turn up mysteriously, cast his spell, give her instructions, and move on. In those early years, she could fight it sometimes. She could do things like ask for help. She could do things like change very subtly, resist the orders that she was given. But after a long, long time, it got too much. It wore her down. About 50 years before the apocalypse went down, just before your birthday. Not exactly, but sometime before. She hears that woman's voice in her head again. She introduces herself as Lightburner. She shows the Geist Queen her powers. She shows her the ability to cast spells through her own body, through this necklace, through Glengarith and out. She walks her to a graveyard. She walks her to the dwarven graveyard nearby. And with bare minutes, the undead dwarves are climbing from their graves. The power isn't very strong yet, but it's going to get stronger, and Glengarith knows this. She can feel it. The dwarves drop to the ground. Kells laughs and says that she will be meeting her again soon. She will be her puppet for a while, and then she will be nothing. Glengarith tried to fight, and she did for a while. She did things that were so crazy she was sure her brother would stop her. But he couldn't. He didn't. Your birthday. A day before, she's standing in a room, your bedroom actually, and she's looking down at you and Inverna and Talvin walking in the gardens. The place where you and Inverna used to play as very small children. Daychin is standing in the room with her. Daychin asks which one it is to be. She knows she should say Zelfa. She knows she should say it. He's strong, he's powerful. But Daychin is stronger. She wanted to make sure that there would be someone who could fight. Someone who could stop whatever she was becoming. Stop this Shade Slayer from joining the Blissful Eclipse. If anyone could do it, it was her brother. He was the smartest person she knew. And instead of saying Zelfa, she pointed at the boy walking between his two friends. You see her at the dance when she's dancing with you, your birthday meal. The thing that you missed when you rolled is that she cast a rune upon your shoulder. The day of the apocalypse, she's standing in front of you. Ninferna is in pieces on the floor. She's looking at you, and your face is different. It's the look of panic, the look of fear. It's Marnak's face. She offers him a deal. From Kells' lips to his. Join the Blissful Eclipse, and we will return your wife and your son to you. You will be one of us, and you will be saved. No one else can offer you this. He agrees. She screams, and people come pouring in, your father first amongst. He grabs you, looks at Nymverna, and makes a decision. And before Queen Glengareth can stop whatever is controlling her, making her do all of this, using her voice with someone else, for someone else, you're whisked away, and she never sees you again. Your vision, your memories flow back to you, and you're standing in the Witcher Society again, holding your aunt's hand. There are tears running down her face.
He takes his hand away and looks at her. Well, I'm not my father, but I take it I've lived up to the expectation so far, at least.
I'm glad. You stopped me. Your father got you away and you stopped me. It's a good thing he did. I've seen people fight Geas before, but this is nothing like I've ever seen or experienced before.
Magic like that used repetitively can be mind-breaking. It says a lot that you were able to maintain yourself.
I am truly sorry for choosing you. But your father thought quickly, for the wrong reasons, but he got you away from my influence, from Daechin. I'm sorry, but I don't regret choosing you instead of him.
You may yet regret more of it.
Is there anything else?
Did Daechin ever say anything to you? Anything that he was planning on doing at any point? Any people that he needed to meet? Any people that he needed to visit who were under similar manipulations?
She shakes her head. No, but there are people building things to help the Blissful Eclipse find our world. It's too late. One of them is already active.
Are these beacons not something we can stop? Something we can destroy? Perhaps reverse it?
She nods and then shakes her head. Some of them have already been built and it's too late. But some of the others are still being built.
Where?
She shakes her head. I don't know.
Do you know what they look like?
I don't know. I know that they're big, really big. And it takes a lot of resources and wood and metals and gems and so much magic. Sorry. I don't know.
I can't imagine any one place on Discora, at least, will have that kind of resources available.
I don't know how much of everything is needed. I don't know if it would take a city the size of Beligbud or a small town, or even a village. I don't know. She's a gnome. She's in Kino. And she did something to the orcs. There are so many of them dead, and they're marching through the Earth Dark. They're marching through our Earth Dark because I let them in. They're headed to Apella's camp. They're there to cause as much chaos as possible. I don't know how she can do it, but she is a very powerful necromancer. And these things won't stop until we've destroyed them. And she's not on our side. There is nothing in there that we can reach.
How large are their numbers?
There are thousands. There are a couple of thousand at least.
When are they supposed to be arriving?
Laffian, they're already here. They've been marching through our tunnels for months.
Then they're under the dawn right now.
She nods.
Has anybody sent word?
She shakes her head. Not as far as I know.
It's times like these we can't be petty and look to each other in terms of factions. We need to be united. Rowena, you and I need to make some contacts, I think.
She nods and says, "You'll be taking that up with Thicket. If this Lightburner is as powerful as we think she is, we have to go deal with her."
We have to deal with the problem here first.
The Dwarven army is already halfway here. The other half is with Thicket. I can send word to tell him to send the rest of themself. I assume your father would be more than happy to send whatever Elven army still wants to fight for itself.
We need to deal with the threat that's on our homeland before we can go to elsewhere, otherwise we leave our backs wide open and we leave our homes unguarded. We cannot fight a battle on two fronts with one being at our behind. And as it stands, if we leave the Dawn to themselves, they may win, but they'll be severely crippled and of no use to us later.
Apella is a smart leader. She's a very smart woman. I think if we get word to her that this is a threat incoming, she'll be able to deal with it. I think half the Dwarven army and the Elven army will be fine. I'm sorry, Laffian, but I'm set. I'm going to go make sure this necromancer doesn't keep sending dead to our land. And if she knows about the blissful eclipse, I will make sure we get that information from her.
Let's make contact with Apella and see what she wants to do. If she is willing to accept our help, then I think we should offer it.
From what I've heard, her forces are headed to Falsum anyway. She's got planeswalkers. They've been looking for ways onto other planes. Don't tell her I told you. She doesn't know. I don't want her to know I've had spies down there. That'd be real bad. But she knows what she's doing. She's not dumb. I'd trust her. At least I'd trust what I've heard about her. We get word down to her. She's heading to Falsum anyway.
Well, then let's see what she wants to do, if she is a strategist.
You'll be dumb for her not to listen to us, so I'm going to go with probably aye. All right. Glenn, how about you get some rest? Right. We'll come back and check on you tomorrow. So far, I need to talk about what to do with you. She kind of like nods meekly up. Come on then, Laffian, let your aunt get some rest. She doesn't need to hear all of this.
Very well.
All right. You leave. That's a solid evening.
Yeah.
It's a solid evening. What do you want to do the next day?
Check on Raul. How's Raul doing?
Raul is receiving the best deep tissue massage he's had of his entire life.
Probably the only one.
Yes, hence the best.
Beth.
Laughing like walks in, he's on a table getting a massage. Raul, how you look like you're enjoying yourself. I'll take that as a definitely enjoying yourself. Good.
He kind of like just waves.
For some reason, I imagine that like Tio's on the side, like snacking on hors d'oeuvres.
Yep. Tio's snacking on those, the artisanal crackers?
Uh-huh.
But they're really posh artisanal crackers. Mama Dathridir is also just like laying down next to Raul. She's having fun with Raul and talking about stuff, and she's being like nice and motherly to Raul. Yeah. So, Raul, do you prefer mimosas or the White Russians?
Probably, I like wine and also and ale, and I like the mimosas. I like to try the new things.
I remember when I was a girl, we had this really nice man who came to the house to make us all these fancy cocktails. We could have a cocktail party, Raul.
I don't know. That wouldn't be very good for...
It's okay. I can have some cleric come cure you of the poison. That will make you feel fine. We used to do this all the time.
Is this in front of me? I'm hearing all this.
No.
Damn it.
This is Raul and Mama Dathridir time.
Raul, we can have a Tupperware party.
Archery lessons.
No.
He knows that he can't like handle a lot of drinking.
Okay. Yeah.
He knows his limits.
Yeah, he knows his limits. Like, yeah, so Mama Dathridir is enjoying her drinks and she can actually drink them. So you taste them and she drinks them. Like,
lovely.
It's a nice, you get to try everything and she gets to get hammered.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And I love hearing their stories. I feel like Raul, like when she starts talking about, oh, when I was little in this party and that party, like that's, he likes that, you know? He'll talk about himself, but like he really does like listening to people and being friendly.
She shares a lot of stories and you get a better idea of what it is to be elven royalty. And the things that she's been through and the things that Balance has gone through when he was a kid. She's told you at least one embarrassing story because she was kind of drunk. One embarrassing story about Pinter at least because she was kind of drunk.
Fair.
She had a good time. She spoke a lot and you guys bonded.
Yeah.
I love it. You have a new mummy. She adores you. She loves Raul because Raul saved her life and her baby. Okay.
I'm adopted.
I'm adopted.
It's a really good evening.
What is this one? That's a martini.
But this one is a mojito.
Ooh.
Okay. Next day rolls around. Raul, you are going to be taken for a manicure and a pedicure. And you're going to get like a nice elven set of robes and clothes made because you already have dwarven set. So she wants to make sure you have an
elven set. Get your claws painted.
Anyway, moving on. Raul is going to have a good day of new clothes and pedicures and manicures. Okay. Adorable.
All right, now that he's gone, where's Kythea at? No.
Kythea at? She ain't here, a boyfriend. Kythea and Thakit aren't due to arrive at Darkhammer for a few more days.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be able to see them. There's, no, I don't have fucking time.
No. Yeah, like Kythir and Thakit aren't actually due to arrive at like Darkhammer because they rode, whatever. They're not due to arrive for a few more days yet. So. Mm-hmm. But she can probably just get a quick teleport across now that Dwarves and the Elves are friends again.
Yeah. But I don't think I have time.
No.
Plus getting teleported there and then back and then having to go to Falsum.
Yeah, it's a whole ordeal. yeah, is there anything else you would like to do?
Replenish my wine stock.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
For other reasons.
The 10 of the finest elven wine. Let's say you can put that in your bag of holding. No problem.
I will do that. Nice 12. Okay, and then one last thing that I want to do, and then I'm probably done.
Okay.
He wants to go to Derlig's house.
Yes, Derlig. Yes, that guy. Yes, that guy. Okay. All right.
And the potion shop.
Yeah. We'll do Derlig now that I'm thinking about it. You arrive at Derlig's house. Are you taking anyone as escort or are you just going to go alone?
I would probably have like a guard or two come along with me just for safety's sake. But once we get to the clearing, I would ask that they just stay watch.
Yeah, of course. You make it to Derlig's house. The house is still intact. There's obviously people still living there. You see the little boy running around. You see the mother just playing with him. And you see another... that's what you see. Yeah. They're just out in the garden. She's like planting flowers and he's just running around being a menace.
Laffian's going to walk out, clearly showing his presence. And what time of day is it?
Whatever time of day you want. Like,
probably like afternoon.
This is, yeah, it's fine then. You spent the morning, I don't know, dealing with your mother's hangover. I don't really know.
holding her hair back.
Yeah, no, she doesn't need that. Like, she has people do that for her.
That's fair.
Yeah, so yeah, afternoon. She looks up and smiles and like brushes the dirt off her and kind of like does the little curtsy and calls Laffian to her side.
It's good to see you again.
You too.
Especially on different terms now.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
Is he still here?
You see her face kind of drop a little bit. No, Laffian, why don't you go play in the garden? Off you go. And she gestures for you to walk with her. She takes you to like around the back of the house, takes you a little distance off. Do you find yourselves in like a tiny, tiny little thicket of trees? You can see the evidence of a new tree beginning to grow. He passed a couple of weeks ago. It's very peaceful.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was getting on a little bit. Still a shock, though.
I understand. It makes my heart happy, at least, that I was able to let him see those he cares about, though, before passing.
He was very happy. He was glad he met you.
And I him. And directly through him, you. I wanted to repay my debt. I feel that I owed him, you, a lot for taking me in during that time.
No, you paid us back more than anything by allowing him to see his grandson. You did more than enough.
Allow me to do one bit more. For my own conscience, if not yours. And he's going to reach into his bag of holding, and he's going to pull out the bag of crushed sapphire.
Okay.
Worth 480 gold pieces.
Okay.
And he's just going to hold the bag out to her. This should help you and the young one live a better life for as long as this world is still going. However long
she
that may be.
She kind of like opens the bag as she looks into it, looks back up at you and pushes it back into your chest. I can't take this. This is too much.
It's mine to give.
Well, it's mine to give back. I can't take all of this. We didn't do anything.
How about this then? How about a different gift? And he's going to lean around the house. Lafian.
The kid comes running up, a complete menace, like running around, like holding this kind of like stick in the air, running around, like stomping. There's something in his manner that kind of reminds you a little bit of Zoltana, just the way he's like stomping around, like waving this sword.
Do I see any dwarf in him? Does he look like a full-blown elf?
He does look like he has like a twinge of dwarf in there somewhere.
Okay. Now, Lafian, I have a present for you. On a condition, though.
The kid, like, comes to a halt and, like, stands very upright.
Yeah. I'm going to be giving this present to your mother. And when you're old enough, and when she thinks you're ready, then you'll be able to have it. Is that all right?
So don't get a present now.
Oh, but it's something to look forward to, and I think you're going to like it.
Okay.
He's going to reach into the bag of holding, and he's going to take out the plus one bow.
You see his eyes go wide as he pull this like giant longbow out of this tiny ass bag. You see him like look widely at it, and you see his mom also look like widely at it, and
understand this is a very, very, very dear item to me. This was a friend of mine's.
He runs over to it, and like the longbow is, I mean, it's longer than most elves anyway, but this is like huge over him.
When you're old enough,
could be an archer.
When you are of age, yes.
Mum, Lafian, stop it. Mum, Lafian. You like see him like run off, like he's holding the sword in a different way, like he's pulling it backwards and like throwing it forward sort of thing. It's ridiculous. Thank you.
It's the least I can do. When he comes of age, speak to my father. Mention that I had sent you to him. I'm sure that any number of our tutors would be happy to take him in as a student.
She looks down a little embarrassed and she says, I'll probably just maybe send a letter to the king. I'm not gonna walk up to the king. Thank you. And she kind of like goes to hug you, realizes that you're like the prince.
As soon as she sees her go for the move, he gives her a hug.
Okay, cool. A hug achieved. Good job. Okay, you said you wanted to go to the potion shop?
Yes.
Okay.
Now that he's not a wanted criminal, potentially, and can actually freely move about.
Wanted criminal. You make your way to the thing. It still says no credit given, just like in big letters. There's also like a bunch of other stipulations. Will not work on a Sunday. Will not work on a Wednesday afternoon. Scrap that. I will work on a Wednesday. Like there's loads of like things that have been written up on this glass now. And you can see like the kids is working with his father. They're like a mirror of each other now that they're working together. You can actually see it now. Yeah.
He steps into the shop and closes the door behind him and then kind of just leans against the frame watching the two of them work with a smirk.
They kind of like unconsciously just like kind of like scratch a bit on their shoulder and like flick potions off their hand. Like sometimes they're in perfect sync and mirror working together. Other times they're just under each other's feet. Like it doesn't take a lot to garner that from like maybe a minute of watching them. The old man eventually turns around and says, "All right, well, if you're not going to pay attention to the kid, what do you want?"
I wanted to pay a visit to some old acquaintances, see how things were going.
Is this your friend?
You see the young kid look back and just like shake his head like, it's not my friend.
All right. Well, then you're probably in the wrong place. Piss off.
Recky? You don't recognize me.
Nah.
What was the let's see, hold on a second. It was Senlan was the old man, and then the half-elf boy was Recky.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're Senlan.
The kid comes.
Yeah. Well, have we met before?
I should hope so. I solved the mystery of your missing potion.
Which time?
There were multiple?
Well, yeah, I've been in business for 200 years. I've lost a potion or two.
50 years ago, you were aided by one inquisitor and a inquisitor in training, one Prince Laffian.
Oh, yeah, that kid. I heard he died.
Do I look dead to you?
He kind of like peers over and you see the kid also like peering in a very like duplicate manner.
Ah, blow me down with a feather, it's your highness.
And you see him like wipe the potion ingredients off his hand and kind of like using the furniture to like walk around to where you are. And you see him like bow as deeply as he can get. You see Recky doing a very similar thing.
You're not dead, congratulations.
It's good to see you both too. I wanted to stop in and see how things were here and reminisce.
Well, we're starting a second potion shop.
Really?
Provided the world don't end. Yep. Recky here.
And you see the kid just like nod and wave and go back to the potions. Clearly, his part in this competition he's not allowed to have.
Yep. He's doing well enough, so we're going to open a second potion stop.
Where are you opening your second location?
We decided to expand down to the Dawn.
Really?
Yep. Actually, it's not quite the Dawn. Apologies, Your Highness. The dusk ain't really... I feel like we've cornered this little part of the world. So we're going to make our way down to Kuzak. You know, the little town between places. And then we'll continue down.
If I may give some friendly advice as one who's... had to travel much of this continent as of late.
Knock yourself out. Uranus.
Kuzak might not be the safest place to be going for such business. If I could perhaps make a suggestion, actually.
Go on then.
Valsum, actually, in recent times, seems to find themselves without an alchemist.
But isn't that town, in recent times, been attacked by... duplicates of things and still in ruins. I thank you for your humble opinion, Your Highness, but I think Kuzak's where we're going to go.
I mean, Falsum's being rebuilt. What better time to get in on some prime real estate than when it's currently being built back up from the ground? It's cheaper, too. Kuzak, you get extorted.
Could Your Highness guarantee a place for us? You know, a nice homely little place. You know, something we don't have to pay.
You'd have to pay no matter where you go. Need to fund saving the world and whatnot, but... I can't make a promise, but I can say that there is definitely real estate that is open. They had an alchemist until about a year ago.
We'll look into it, Your Highness. We'll look into it.
Just a friendly suggestion. And it would be nice to be able to see your faces more often while I'm down there.
Yeah. Don't tell him I said so, but Ricky's definitely got his looks from his mother.
Well, I don't want to keep you all. Unless you have anything for sale that might be of use.
He indicates the entire potion shop.
Tell you what.
And he kind of like stumps his way behind the back and he reaches under the counter and he pulls out like two like red bottles.
Here is my third best healing potion. For your Uranus on the ass.
Really? I appreciate that.
Most welcome.
He looks really proud of himself.
I'll be sure to send more business your way. And should you open up in Falsum, consider me your first customer.
Great. I'll charge you for these then.
Sounds good. If you go to Kuzak there, don't expect to see me. I refuse to go back there. very bad
fair
experiences.
Enough, Your Highness. It is very rough. It is a very rough place.
I almost got kidnapped. Yeah.
You have two of the like lowest healing potions available.
Of fucking course it's the two lowest. So I had one minor healing potion. Now I got three then.
Yes, now you have three.
I mean, that's fine. It's still helpful. Still good for waking Rawl's ass up if he gets knocked out or something.
Yes, this is what we're all generally.
Or Zoltana, should she drop like a sack of potatoes again?
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else?
I think that's about it.
Okay, then I have one last thing to do with you both. Day 6-8 passes as peacefully as possible. Essentially, most of the people who are high in power are either at a meeting with Rowena or they're discussing plans or, you know, yada, yada, yada. You decide to take some time to do whatever it is you want to do. Raoul, you are enjoying having like one of those hot rock massages and doing those like mud bath things. You're taken out to have fun on the lake. Like, this is a good day.
I like the idea that like when people are like, he's royalty. He's like, oh no, I'm just adopted. Like, it's not. Oh no, it's adoption. No, I wasn't actually. No, all it's right. Not real amount.
There is one thing I have to do with Raoul before we forget and get too far. You're always going to wake up around someone.
Oh right, yeah.
So yeah, you're never going to be like sick, and even if you do pass out, like they're going to heal you. I just need to see whether we push your dice forward. That's all I'm interested in.
Right.
So I need to open up my PM notes, find out where we at. Okay, so you were on a D12 when we started day 65. So day 65, I needed D12 rolled. Okay, you're good. Day 66, I needed D12 rolled. 12, you're good. That's a real good day.
Woo.
Day 67, I needed D12.
It's all those massages.
I think it might be, to be honest. Like, Raoul should be getting advantage on these, but he really doesn't need them. Day 68, I need a D12.
Oh,
so you remember
those
advantages?
All right.
You remember those advantages you were just talking about?
Can't have them all throughout all the days. We have had stressful days. I should have had disadvantage for some of those, to be perfectly fair.
I think the first day, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so you drop down to a D10 on the last day, which is day 69.
Ha! Sorry.
No!
Day 69, D10, please.
All right.
Fuck.
And this is important. Okay. All right, yeah, so you don't suffer a day of exhaustion on the day that really matters here.
Yeah, I get rested up.
Okay.
From my acid attack day.
Put drop. All right, yeah, so you're now on a D12 for a D10 for that. I had to do that because somebody else is going to come up. But
it's cool. No, Raoul's really right. Relaxed and shit. And then I feel like just the wind gets knocked out of his sails. Just a tad bit.
I mean, this is too good.
He's brought back up, you know. He feels fine. But,
yeah, like yeah. They look after him real good. Look after him real good. All right. On the night of day 68, you know, it's the night before winter. It becomes winter on day 69. Whatever big holiday event, this is the day it's considered that winter is here. Mama Dathridir invites you both on a walk. She's taking the babe with too. But your father is still busy dealing with how to deal with a dwarven army pouring through and how to go down and help the Dawn with the oncoming problem. She takes you both out of the city. She takes you quite far. She takes you up a fairly steep hill until you're overlooking a lake. This lake is kind of almond shape, except the ends are kind of pointed. So it kind of looks a bit like the shape of an eye. In the very center, you can see that there is dark sand and it makes kind of like a pupil in this deep blue water. The edges of this lake are surrounded by trees and the ones at the very edge of the lake are very dark. They look like eyelashes from this extreme height that you have come above this. You're looking down into this lake.
She turns to you both, babe in arms, and says, "Have I ever told you about the blessings of summer?"
Have you?
I don't think she has.
Not that I recall.
So we always know when summer is here, and we always know when winter is here. In the summer, this lake is open. And she points down at the clear water below. And as you look, and kind of like bend your head a little bit, you can see that the water is a darker blue in a circle around the dark black sand in the very center. And it does look a bit like an eye. And as the water kind of like moves a bit in this lake, it kind of looks like it's looking at you. But that's an illusion, right? That can't be right. And she says, "When it's summer, this eye opens. And when winter is here, this one closes, and there's another eye somewhere in the world. It's the eye of winter. This is the eye of summer. This one's going to close later today, and I thought you might want to see it. It's really pretty."
What do you mean, close?
The dark sand in the center kind of drains away and changes color. So it just becomes, instead of clear blue water with a dark sand in the center, it just kind of goes gray.
Hmm.
Like a really deep slate gray.
That's a little eerie.
Mysteries of this world, I guess.
You want mysteries of the world? Climb to the tallest mountain. That's mysteries right there.
Yeah, I heard about that. My father said that if you jumped at exactly the right time, when the eye was opening or closing, you'd get a blessing. I don't know if it's true. I never managed it. Never at exactly the right moment.
Hmm.
And, well, if you two aren't going to try it, I will.
Oh, no, absolutely. We need all the blessings we can.
I don't mind the water.
Oh, okay. Well, we should feel the ground shift a little before it happens, and then you just gotta jump and hope that the eye closes the second you hit the water, I guess. It is a bit high, so just be careful. She looks a little down, like a little sad that she's disappointed that she doesn't get to do this. And she kind of like takes a few steps back so that she can see the whole thing. It would take a bit of a run and a jump at exactly the right time, and there will be falling damage. Okay. You guys are some height up.
That's fine.
Okay, wait, I thought you wanted to do this. What?
She looks down at the baby. She's like, "I can't really jump in the water with the baby."
Why don't you just get one of the guards then? I'm sure someone will be able to.
She has that like kind of new mother look, like she's been away for a baby for like a day. She's like, she rushes back over and like puts the babe in one of the guard's arms, and like
she comes back and Rawls like talking to Balance about like where I'm from, we're walking like in an hour, it's crazy, and you are so slow. Is it gonna walk soon?
No, not for a very long time.
It was been walking a long time ago, are you sure?
It's a little bit hard to explain, but our infants take a long time to get everything going, so to speak.
Feel the earth shake a little bit.
Okay.
And you hear a kind of like a squeak from your mum off in the distance as she begins charging up the hill. Whatever tirade she was in the middle of, she stopped. she's rushing up.
All right. We felt the earth shake.
Baby or not, everyone's going in.
Yep. We're taking a dip.
Give that baby a blessing.
The baby is not going in the water, Ral. I am not jumping off a cliff with a baby.
I mean,
I will be massacred, my friend, massacred.
I mean,
It's magic water. Maybe it'll be, give the baby blessing.
Yeah, and you're shielding the damage,
she's
right?
not risking this.
You're holding it.
No, this. I'm not jumping in the water. She's not jumping in the water with a baby. I can't allow this to happen. I will be crucified. She goes charging up, and you feel the earth shake once again. You see the water go momentarily gray and go back to how it was before, but you see the dark kind of sand in the center begin to slowly disappear. Mama Dathra Deer charges past you guys if you aren't jumping all in right. first.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going with.
Yeah. I think we're also like looking to her for timing, actually. So
as she's running up, she's like, I don't know if this is going to work or if I've even got anything right time was, but a girl. And she kind of like runs
can I have
and
a,
jumps.
Can I have a math moment?
Sure.
See if I can try to, with my high intelligence, plot out the exact timing needed.
You could give it a try, but you've never seen this before. You don't exactly know what you're looking for. Like, you don't know whether what you just saw was a blink or whether that was it. Like, you don't really know. You can give it a shot, but it will be a disadvantage.
Okay. Just a try.
This is just going to give you advantage on, like, the next roll.
7.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to tell. You're just guessing at this point.
Then we go.
She jumps into the water. I need all three of you to take 10d6 falling damage.
That's wow.
Well, Squash had to do 15, so wow. Consider yourselves lucky.
10d6.
Yes, please.
Well, Rala, it doesn't matter. Rala has the fall.
Yeah, but I can't use it because it's slow. It's in the name.
Well, I don't think it actually slows you. Well, your description, it does.
It does, in the name, actually.
His flavor text, we slow down, and yeah, I think it is slow for.
35.
34.
Wow.
Would you mind re-rolling again for your mother, please?
Okay.
Roll high.
32. I'm not killing my mother.
You didn't kill your mother. Okay, I need everyone just to roll a straight d20, please.
I don't like doing that. 12.
7.
All right, let's see whether Mama Dathra Deer gets it or not. The thing she's been waiting for her entire life. Maybe the last chance ever because the world may be ending. Okay. You all make a running jump. As you do, you see this beam of purplish lights erupt from the center. And the moment your chest hits the water, exactly the moment that your heart is in line with the water level, Balance, you take a sharp breath in. You both, all three of you, plunge below the water and you feel magic all around you. And for the briefest moment, it looks as if your vision has moved to that of the eye itself. You see it pull back and you see the water go grey. And then all your senses rush back to you and you kick towards the surface as hard as you can. Balance, you have received the blessing of summer.
Oh.
However, your blessing, because it's of a dying season, is shorter than if it was the beginning of summer. Mm-hmm. But you receive the following effects. Blessing of the end of summer. You're an elf, so you already have dark vision, so you have blind sight for 10 feet. You have detect magic once per day.
Oh.
There is a minimum arcana check to use it.
Okay.
Again, only temporary. Like the blind sight.
Okay.
You are resistant to psychic damage.
Oh.
Forever and ever.
Oh.
And you feel for a moment just kind of like a really sharp stabbing pain in one of your shoulder blades. I will let you choose. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Do you need to know?
I assume you want to know.
Let's go right shoulder blade because I'm right-handed.
Okay. On your right shoulder blade, there is a mark. And this mark is of a dark red eye.
Oh.
Your blind sight and your detect magic will only be with you for a short amount of time.
Any idea how long?
Yes, I do.
Meta-wise?
Yes, I do.
Should I mark it down?
No. I will tell
you. So I'm going to put that they're temporary.
Yes.
Okay.
And there you go. I guess you get the blessing of summer. I mean,
well then.
As you all kick your way to the surface and the water goes grey around you, as you make your way towards the shore itself, snow begins to fall, marking winter having arrived. You make your way back home. Your mother is proud, disappointed, not at all jealous. Cough. You make your way home. You're woken up very, very early. You have to be. Demi told you she would be here pre-dawn, like really early. She arrives, and with her there is Squash. There is Zoltana. She puts her hands out to you, and she pulls you guys towards Falsum.
Hi, everyone. Ral here. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I enjoyed having a little break, but I have things to do. Anyways, first of all, I'd like to give a thanks to Daniel Labasso for becoming a Patreon. We very much appreciate your support. It means a lot to us. And I would also like to thank a Patreon Rogue for the name Salareth Der... I'm not going to pronounce that right. Thank you. Thank goodness I don't have to try to pronounce these. If you would like to hear V try to pronounce these, you can also go to patreon.com and support the show. We appreciate everyone's support very much. We have a bunch of wonderful supporters. And aside from the Kino campaign up there, we also have the name bank where you can submit the name once a month to the pool for us to pick from for names. So if you would like to join in on these cool things, then find us on Patreon and help support the show, because it helps so much and we very much appreciate it. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you all back in Falasam. Bye.
Welcome, travelers. Seems like you're looking for a story. Well, I got one for you. It involves adventure, friendship, and all sorts of...
Earl, why don't you tell him about that time I stole that big-ass melon?
Yeah, I was going for more.
Or you could tell him about the time I kicked your ass, Earl.
I wouldn't ever tell him.
Do I need to get my ref gear on?
Okay, everyone, shut up. Now come with me as I tell you a story from afar.
Hey, everybody. My name's David. I'm the DM for From Afar Podcast. From Afar Podcast is all about four friends separated by distance, but brought together by adventure. Hope you all stop by and give us a listen. Thanks.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.